Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design conference call for the 21st day of March, year 2021. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is the elect. We dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo-Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program, Cymru am Byth. Callers are welcome, but we do ask that you use proper language and etiquette upon the airwaves and be very considerate of those who may be on the call at the same time. We are in the question and answer mode, which means all callers are muted automatically until such time as you indicate you wish to speak. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and Pastor Dan is all together with no spaces. And again, we do remind you that we have a daily mail page where we put pertinent information up there that you may not be able to get through email, etc. There is a lot of censorship going on right now, so we ask that you check that from time to time. Also, for folks that are new to identity, we link to many of the websites that have a lot of teaching information there. Why Reinvent the Wheel? A lot of good scholars such as Bertrand Comparé, Wesley Swift, etc. have put much information out there. Many sites mirror their work, and some of the more modern teachers as well. As it says in Scripture, we learn line upon line, precept upon precept, working as a team. Speaking of teams, I want to give a little update. We have a couple fellows that used to be part of the program who are no longer with us. And for those who stay on top of things, they know who I'm speaking of. They are younger guys. They will no longer be part of this program, especially the fellow called Luke. Folks, we're pretty tolerant. The audience here, pretty tolerant of individuals. However, one thing is clear. When somebody writes a note to me and it's full of vulgarity, accusations, innuendo, and gossip, and it comes across as that I owe them something, or they make an accusation that's unfounded, well, that's cause for loss of fellowship. Now, some people might not agree with that. You have a right to not agree with it. However, it's my life, my time, and I'm allowed to use my own judgment on that matter, just as you use your judgment when you make those decisions. So those two individuals have cut the cord, so to speak. There's always a chance for repentance. I don't see it happening because I personally think they were shills from the beginning. However, it does happen from time to time, and yours truly can fall for it. But in the end, they can't keep up the ruse, they can't keep up the image, and they are eventually found out. That almost happens. In fact, I would say it happens in every single case. So those who are not true don't stand. Reading today from Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 7 and 8, blessed is the man who trusts in Yahweh and whose confidence is in Yahweh. For he will be as a tree planted by the waters, who spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes. Now, heat here being judgment or tribulation. But its leaf will be green and will not be concerned in the year of drought. Okay, what do we hear all the time right now? Food shortages, shortages of this, you can't get into stores, Big Brother doing this and that. it won't cease from yielding fruit. So again, this is all talking about the man who trusts in Yahweh. So he will not cease from yielding fruit. Again, good works, good deeds. And as I was saying, individuals who show me their dark energy, as these two individuals have, they're not going to bear good fruit. They will remain isolated and unfruitful as they go through life because they haven't truly repented. So, again, they won't be back on, and I think they've had a bad influence on some folks. So be it. If folks are easily persuaded, then I can't do anything about that. So, again, we're going to talk about the elect today. As far as an update on the Ark Project, Yahweh's opened a few doors there. We have substantial contributors who are at the ready. We also have a mechanism to do this and obtain some funding. And so we're going to pursue it. As far as actually having a piece of property and setting things up, we're not there yet. Which reminds me of an individual by the name of Charles who attacked me for not putting him in charge of the construction of our ark years ago when we were nowhere even close to that part of the project and yet turned on me simply because I would not name him as the project manager for construction purposes. I mean, to me, that's about as ludicrous as you can get. However, people will be people. And as time progresses here, it's becoming more and more evident just how some folks are easily triggered or get unhinged. So, again, so be it. Sign of the times, I guess. Just listened to a very good interview with Scott McKay and Clay Clark. Again, you may or may not like Scott McKay and the Tipping Point. Boone says here, is it last week's guest? Yeah, as a matter of fact, it was. So, again, I can't check the chat room all the time, but occasionally I'll try to get in there and see what your questions are. But it'd be better if you just called in or sent me a phone text or my Proton mail. I try to monitor those as well. But again, this is all done on one setup here by one individual, so I can only do so much. But again, ARC is proceeding, and we ask in covered prayers for that. And before we get into the subject matter of the elect, I wanted to read from Prophets and Poets, The Last Days, written by Michael Marlowe, who happens to be a friend of mine, who also happens to live in the very area where we're talking about setting up an ark. It's synchronicity is an amazing thing. Now, in his book, which is basically, again, the title is Prophets and Poets, The Last Days, it's basically devotionals, if you will, or readings from the days of the month. And I'm going to read from March 19th, which coincidentally is my father's birthday. And this is a passage that we have referred to many, many times from Isaiah chapter 33, verse 22. For Yahweh the Lord is our judge. Yahweh is our lawgiver. Yahweh is our king. He will save us. Yah, there is only one God according to the scriptures. Ten commandments and all through the scriptures. One Savior, Yah. The modern-day church has created a second Savior for you, and that's where everybody's heads are at. But it all goes back to the Father. Every piece, every jot, every tittle, everything in Scripture points to the Father. Now, the reading for March 20th is from Enoch. We got chapter 45 of Enoch. In that day shall the elect one sit upon a throne of glory. and shall choose their conditions and countless habitations, parentheses, while their spirits within them shall be strengthened when they behold my elect one, end parentheses. He shall choose for those who have fled for protection to my holy and glorious name. In that day I will cause my elect one to dwell in the midst of them, will change the face of heaven, will bless it, and illuminate it forever. I will also charge the face of the earth, I will also change the face of the earth, will bless it, and cause those whom I have elected to dwell upon it. But those who have committed sin and iniquity shall not inhabit it, for I have marked their proceedings. My righteous ones will I satisfy with peace, placing them before me. But the condemnation of sinners shall draw near, that they may be removed from the face of the earth. Sort of sounds like Obadiah 18, doesn't it? And then for today, out of Hosea chapter 14, verse 9, whoever is wise, let him understand these things. Whoever is discerning, let him know them. For the ways of Yahweh are right, and the upright walk in them, but transgressors stumble in them. Amen. And for tomorrow, we'll go ahead and read tomorrow's, the 22nd. It comes out of Proverbs chapter 2, verse 20 and 21. So you will walk in the way of the good and keep to the paths of the righteous, for the upright will inherit the land, and those with integrity will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the treacherous will be rooted out of it. It's kind of funny, but Clay Clark and Scott McKay were talking about that very issue, and the fact that the great war that we are in the midst of, some people call this tribulation, but it's actually a war. And it reminds me of the excerpt from the Dead Sea Scrolls that was found that talked about at the end of this earth age, there'd be a great war between the children of light and the children of darkness. Now, of course, the children of light or children of God, whichever, are idiomatic expressions of individuals who exhibit the attributes of the living God. That's basically what it is. Those who act and behave as the living God. Okay? The wicked don't do that, do they? And we have a lot of people today that don't behave like that at all. It's actually quite amazing. They actually condemn righteous behavior. They mock it, just as I believe it's in Isaiah where it says in they would call good evil and evil good. Okay? So everything is completely upside down today. But Yahweh watches over the affairs of his people. And it's at this time that they shall stand up and be manifested and show the world the right ways. And for those who have the courage to do that, he will stand with them. And so you either have faith in that or you don't. I determined a long time ago that it was risky business to tell the truth and to stand against evil things and evil people. But my defense, my protection, was always in the verse that talks about the prayers of a righteous man or woman availeth much. And in my lifetime, those prayers have availed much. And so we are at a precipice right now for a great change that's coming. Most of my spiritual counselors that I communicate with constantly have told me they can sense that we are on the verge of a major change in this world. It's going to shift directions. And that's why the beast is extremely angry and putting out as much propaganda as they can to try to convince you that this isn't going to happen. But it is going to happen because Yahweh commands it. This is his world. It is his plan. It's kind of interesting, the word halagos in the Greek text is almost always translated as the word, and that's where everybody gets it, especially once the Bibles were created. So now the word became the Bibles. But before, halagos meant the plan. It could be the spoken word, because remember, Christ and his disciples didn't carry any kind of tablets, writing material, overhead projectors, internet connections, cell phones. They had none of that. They had their voices. That's as high tech as they got. They walked wherever they were going, and they spoke, which again gets back to halagos in the Greek, the breathed word, the intellectual thoughts being put into words, etc., also meaning the plan, which requires logic, thinking, rational thinking, okay? Logos is the Greek word that we get logic from. L-O-G-O-S in the Greek and L-O-G-I-C in English. Same word, logic. So the plan has always been with the Father, and the plan will play out exactly the way he sees fit. It doesn't matter what men do. So we are on the precipice of all this as we see these things unfolding. And so why the readings from the book and why I'm trying to stay as positive as we can in these latter days is because of all the negativity out there. It's starting to have an effect on our people. Many of them are depressed. There is anxiety. I'm seeing a lot of anxiety in people, doubts sometimes, and that's exactly what the enemy wants. So we should do, since we're at a war, obviously what we should do is the opposite. We should stay with what people call high vibration and energy, and not allow ourselves to succumb to what the enemy wants us to do, which is to lose heart and give up, because they're going to lose this war. As Scripture has so accurately put, they're going to lose. They're going to go into the pit to be destroyed, utterly destroyed, as Obadiah says, and so does Ezekiel. And we constantly refer to Malachi chapter 4, and if you read it, it says exactly the same thing. So we have three prophets that have told us that that's exactly what's going to happen. And we will witness it. And we're very fast approaching that period of time. So again, the admonition and why the readings from the book is to stay positive, maintain high vibration and good energy. All right. We are to be examples of our Father in heaven here on the earth. When they see you, they should see a reflection of him. If they don't see a reflection of him, you're not doing your job. Comprende? So stay positive. Because the fact that the enemy is doing everything that it's doing right now to try to keep this crap going, tells you that you're over the target, that they know they can't win. So they're desperate right now. They're pulling out all punches. The show that I was watching is Patriot Street Fighter number 8. In other words, he has to create a new channel all the time because YouTube, which is run by Susan Wojcicki, the Jew, constantly pulls down anybody trying to tell the truth about what the Antichrist Jews are doing. So Patriot Street Fighter number 8, an interview within the last couple of days with a gentleman called Clay Clark, and he has a channel or a website called Thrive Time Show. Thrive, T-H-R-I-V-E, Thrive thetimeshow.com. And there's another website he referred to, and I haven't checked it out, but it looks like it's got a lot of good information. It's timetofreeamerica.com. And the thing that was interesting as these gentlemen were speaking was this notion that we are upon the precipice of this changing of this world, and you're either going to be on the side of the good shepherd or you're going to be on the side with the goats, just as it says in scripture, or you could look at it as a separation between the wheat and the tares. Now, everybody knows the tares, at the end of the age, the tares will be rooted up and thrown into the fire. That's an analogy of destruction. Now, what form it takes, who cares? Whether it's burning in hell forever or just not going into heaven at the end of this world or some sort of other judgment, what difference does it make? It's not good. Being a terror, working for the devil, whatever, the adversary, is not a good thing. Opposing the living God and his righteous commandments is not a good thing. So why sit around and argue and bitch and moan and backstab over minute details that really are inconsequential when you really think about it? Okay? Being opposed to the living God, and only a fool says there is no God. It says so in Scripture. Only a fool can look at this world around us and say, oh, this all happened by accident. Really? You really think that? With all the order, the intricacies of how cells function, reproduction works, how the immune system works, how a baby just knows what to do with mom, and the miracle that happens when the baby lays on mama's chest and breastfeeds for the first time, all the miraculous things that happen to that child. Now you understand why the modern medical associations, all run by Antichrist Jews and their lackeys, want you to bottle feed the baby. They want to get the baby away from mama as fast as they can, and a little boy is taken in and traumatized with circumcision as quickly as possible. Why? Because that's exactly the opposite of what our Father teaches. The Lamaze method, which was being taught back in the 70s and 80s, was a very quiet setting, very serene. In fact, I believe it was Lamaze that even had the woman in a very warm bath of water, so that the baby was actually born into warm water, could even be saline water, much like the placenta's water. Okay, that's what the baby comes out to, and the baby is slowly brought up out of the water and put on mama's chest with the umbilical cord attached. You don't have to cut the umbilical cord right away. Leave the umbilical cord attached. So baby gets a comfort. It's scary. It's been in that womb for 9 months. Protected, isolated. Now it's out in the open air. Let the baby become accustomed to the loving bond with mom. So Lamaze and many other teachers have it right, but the mainstream, of course, wants to do it the sterile, noisy, bright lights, clamorous, torturous, and traumatic way that the modern medical associations do it. You see, everything's upside down. But the good news is many people are now starting to realize that, and they are seeking answers and starting to seek Yahweh's ways, which bring about what? Health, prosperity, friendship, bonding, neighborly love. Okay? That's what are the fruits of Yah's way of doing things. Whereas man's way brings what? Chaos, disease, hunger, strife, tension, anxiety, stress. All of these are what? Killers. Killers of the spirit, killers of the soul, killers of the body. So choose this day whom ye shall serve, as Joshua said so long ago. Choose this day whom ye shall serve. Do you want to serve the gods of this world? with the things I just mentioned, all the negative, or do you want to serve the living God with his ways? I personally don't understand why anybody would want to go by the way of this world. What do you see that's so valuable in it? I don't understand. So anyway, in that interview between Scott McKay and Clay Clark, they talked at the end of the interview about the CDC, Center for Disease Control, which is an oxymoron since it's a private corporation and they have no intention of controlling disease other than being, how shall we say, controlling it in the sense of deciding who gets it and who doesn't, and once you get it, how it's treated. They are not about your protection, and they are not your friends. But anyway, on the CDC site, they have a thing where they're talking about a shielding approach in the coming days because of this fake, totally fake pandemic, and the setting up of what they call green camps, which are nothing more than concentration camps. So this fake plague is being used, and once again, we're completely accurate when we said this is a communist insurgency worldwide hiding behind a medical emergency that does not exist, completely fabricated. Okay, now talk about lunacy. So here we have a communist takeover attempt in your face, communism. Everywhere, not just here in the United States, everywhere. And who are instrumental in it? Everything that's centralized. Corporations, which are centralized business. Governments, which are centralized control. The major mainstream religions, which is what? Concentrated or centralized, quote, religion. All of them which Christ himself hated with a passion. Every one of these are arms and legs of this beast. And then you have the financial, again, centralized, the World Bank's centralized in the hands of the Antichrist Jews. And all of these monstrosities that we're talking about here, by the way, come right out of the Talmud, which is the holy book of Jews, which has nothing whatsoever to do with Scripture of the Hebrew people, our people, the Anglo-Saxon Israelite peoples. Okay? So everything has a form of godliness, such as the church world with all their rituals and religiosity and references to the holy book, etc., but there's no power in it. It is a form of godliness. They talk about God. Of course, they don't say which God. They talk about being righteous. They talk about a lot of things. But there's no fruit. There's no change in this world, is there? No. That's why they hated Christ and the disciples, because they made changes. There were changes in the world. There were changes in the individuals. That's why the scripture says that a true conversion to the living God brings about a change in a person's life. If there's no change in your thought patterns, if there's no change in your life, then you have not come to know the living God. Period. You can't know him and not change. It's impossible. Impossible. Now, you can go to the local whitewashed sepulcher or tomb called a church. You can go there and pretend to be a believer and get away with it. Just as these two individuals that we talked about like to pretend to be believers, but when it came time of testing, they failed because a true conversion had not happened. They're just going through the motions to fit in, go along, whatever, but when the time of testing came, they failed miserably. Just as you, ladies and gentlemen, are being tested by the Father right now. So it is a time of new beginnings, and that's why we wanted to talk a little bit about the elect today. So I'm going to call up my e-sword, which I would highly recommend it, since it doesn't cost you anything, folks. So if you want to do word studies, you can go to the website blueletterbible.com. That's also a very good tool for doing it. This one you can do on your own computer, and it's downloadable, and if you can't get on the internet, you can still use it. So that's why I like eSword. It's on your hard drive, and it's got a lot of information. So you pull up eSword, and I went ahead and pulled up the King James with the Strong's numbers in there just for this particular search, and I searched for the elect, and these are the verses that popped up. So I thought we would talk about that for a few minutes, because you, ladies and gentlemen, are his elect. Now, before I start reading this, I'm going to go ahead and check some notes here, so give me just a second. Bubby1483 says here, he was hit by a laser and protected by Yahweh. I've heard many, many stories by many folks lately talking about those kind of things. There is a movement of Yahweh's spirit today, folks. That's what I'm trying to get across to you, okay? I've been blessed to be sitting in a centralized point, or a nexus, if you will, where, because of the show and just circumstances, I've been privileged to hear many, many testimonies. I'm going to tell you, the spirit of our Father is moving right now. As it says in Scripture, he would pour out his spirit upon all flesh. We're also approaching the period where it said if he did not, and we're going to cover that here real short in Matthew 24, if he did not shorten those days, for the elect's sake, no flesh would be saved. Okay? But for the elect's sake, he shortened them. So the elect aren't meant to perish. And you're part of the elect. Now, let me get back to my board here. Okay, so now we're going to start in Isaiah 42. Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect. Okay, mine elect, and the elect here is the Hebrew 972 in Strong's, and it's Bakir, and it means to choose or chosen one, elect. So anytime you see the word elect, you could substitute chosen one, or those who are chosen. Okay? You have been chosen. And we talk about the word ecclesia, the called out ones. So Isaiah is telling us, behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit, which is ruach in the Hebrew, upon him. He shall bring forth judgment, mishpat, to the Gentiles. Whoa, what's Isaiah saying here? To the Gentiles, the goy. Now, to show you how everything is upside down, the Jews have everybody believing that non-Jews are the goy. Do you see how they work that? When in fact, when you see the word Gentiles in the Old Testament, it comes from Strong's 1471, which is goy. It's a foreign nation, hence a Gentile. Foreign, okay? A troop of animals or a flight of locusts, heathens or nations or people. So, they wanted you to think that you're a Gentile because you're not a Jew. Do you see how they've twisted that? When in fact, the Caucasian Israelites are the children of the Most High, and it is the Jew is a goy. But they got you thinking you're a goy, and they are the chosen. Do you see how it works? Okay. Everything's upside down. Everything's a mirror image, etc., etc., etc. So Isaiah is telling us that his servants, his elect, in whom his soul delighteth, our Heavenly Father, he has put his spirit upon him, the spirit of the Father upon him, and he will bring forth judgment to the non-Israelites, including the most despicable of non-Israelites, the Jews. And again, all you got to do is read Andrew Carrington Hitchcock's book, The Synagogue of Satan, which is still available, by the way. And you will find that they have been destroyers of this world for a very long time, just as Christ said 2,000 years ago. But nobody seems to want to pay attention to what Christ says anymore, anyway. So we'll go read Andrew's book. He did a lot of research putting that together. It's still available. It was available on Amazon, but I think now you have to go to other sources to find it because Amazon's run by a Jew. So it's only a matter of time before they realize that people are actually buying the book and reading it and educating themselves, and they will cease to allow that to happen. Isaiah 65, verse 22, they shall not build and another inhabit it. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall enjoy the work of their hands. My elect, my people. So right now, the enemy, and again, how did the enemy do this? How did these Jews convince the world that they're chosen and control the vastly superior white people as far as numbers, ingenuity, creativity, spirituality, and charity? That's the white race. We are the loving, caring, sharing Israelite people. How did they convince the world that they, the despicable Jews, who are the monsters of this world, if you look into what they've actually done, how did they do that? Because they control two things: the money supply and media. That's all it takes. Control the money, which is how they got control of the media. And then you can convince people of almost anything. And that's exactly what you see happening right now. They've got everybody running around with a dirty, filthy, disease-ridden, bacteria-filled diaper on their face because of their control of the money through corporations and their control of the media, the television. Those two things. That's all it took. And the vast majority of these people are completely zombified. Their brains don't even function anymore. They're putting a filthy, disease-ridden diaper on their face because of the television or because the corporation where they work or where they're trying to shop has told them they must comply or they can't have the products or have their jobs. See how it works? So the key part of this puzzle is the fact of who controls the money. He who controls the money controls the country. Nathan Rothschild said that many years ago, back in the 1700s. I care not who makes the laws of a country as long as I get to control the issuance of the currency and the credit, meaning banking. And so through the control of banking, they control you. They control everything. And that's why Scripture says that in the end of this age, when Yahweh decides to tear this Babylonian system down and shred it and burn it to a crisp, one of the ways that he's going to destroy the Babylonian system is to destroy their financial death grip on the world. Because, ladies and gentlemen, we don't need Jewish international bankers. We don't need them. Every individual out there, whether it's a county, a state, a country, a group of countries, whatever, they can make anything they want currency amongst themselves. Because in the bottom line, it's you and I as men and women upon the land, created in the image of the Almighty, working together and interfacing with each other and having commerce with each other, meaning barter or currency, where we share ideas and or products with each other. We don't need centralized government. We don't need centralized bankers. We don't need large centralized religion. We don't need any of that. And we sure as hell don't need these gigantic armies that have nothing better to do than expend tremendous amounts of money and murdering innocent people, which is generally what they do. Okay? Because there are no real boogeymen except other governments. Do you see how that works? So the governments have no problem sending your sons and daughters off to die or be wounded in these phony wars, because the real boogeymen are governments all working together, laughing their asses off as they sit behind their ivory towers while your sons and daughters are dying and bleeding on battlefields so that they can stay in power and stay rich. Pretty good scheme, isn't it, for them? Let me check the notes. Give me a second here. Caucasian guy says here, Peter said we are the chosen. This means all the chosen ones elect belong to that race. Yeah, we are. Okay. Adam, meaning white man, to show blood in the face, was put here to be the administrator. Now, that doesn't mean to be the predator or to be the abuser of the earth or the people of the earth. No. He was to maintain law and order. Okay. Yes. Very good. And then Bubby 1483, so saith Yahweh, a special people of all the people of the earth. Amen. That's why Celt, as in the Celtic people, Celtic languages, Celt comes from Keltoi in the Greek, which means peculiar people. Okay, who were the Celts? The peculiar people. Exactly what Scripture says. Now we go to Matthew 24, so now we're into the Greek texts. And the elect comes from, let me get it up here, 1588 in the Greek Strong's Concordance, 1588, electos, so electors, the elect comes straight from the Greek, electos, and it's pretty much exactly as the Hebrew word that we talked about. It means, by implication, a favorite, chosen or elect. So, Matthew 24, 22, verse 22, and except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Now, that word saved, there shall no flesh be saved. Again, the church world talks about the, quote, coming down and pleading the blood and be saved, and yet sozo is the Greek word, 4982 in the Strong's, okay? To save, that is deliver or protect, heal, preserve, save, do well, make whole, literally or figuratively, but the point of it is, if you go to the Thayer's Greek lexicon, sozo, which is almost all the time the Greek manuscripts were speaking of salvation, they were using a form of sozo, it's talking about salvation here on earth. It's not talking about something beyond. It's not talking about falling down on the floor and flopping around like a fish that's dying, and speaking in some other tongue or whatever, and you're full of the Holy Spirit, which is what these churches are all saying. So now you're, quote, saved. Well, what are you saved from? Okay, that's a great witness for the people there that you're somehow full of the Holy Spirit. But what did you save? These churches are full of people like that. I've been to Pentecostal churches. I belong to the Assembly of God for 2 or 3 years, because they were right in my backyard, and I got to know the pastor pretty well, so we attended the church, but I never could get into that portion of the church. I just didn't feel it. I'm not saying it's not real, don't get me wrong, because I know personally people who speak in an unknown tongue. I don't do it. I don't understand it. I can't translate it, so therefore I have no opinion. Okay? Other people do. But the point of it is, you know, I've met people who said, well, if you can't speak in this foreign tongue, then you're not saved. Excuse me? Where does it say that? Well, it's a gift of the Spirit. Yeah, it's one of many gifts of the Spirit. Prophecy is a gift of the Spirit. Discernment is a gift of the Spirit. judgment to come will be a gift of the Spirit. Not just speaking in other tongues. And by the way, the word tongues means languages. It doesn't mean something from the heavens. It also means earthly languages. If you all of a sudden woke up one day and could speak fluent French, that's pretty much a gift, isn't it? Why does everybody assume it's a tongue, a completely unknown tongue to the rest of us here on earth? It could be a different language. Doesn't have to be the one from above on the other side. Though it could be. The point of it is, when somebody utters something in this unknown tongue, let's say we're in France, that's where the disciples ended up in Gaul, and they go into this village and they want to talk to them about the gospel. And one of them starts speaking in German. Well, he's doing that to prove a point. But he's not supposed to do that unless there's somebody in the audience who understands that dialect of German. That's the part that many of the Pentecostals seem to leave out, at least the ones I've met. Okay? So, if I'm in this group of Frenchmen and I start speaking in German or Russian or Swedish, then there's supposed to be somebody there that can raise their hand and go, I know exactly what he said because I speak that language, and interpret it. So that's a witness, because those words were given to that man. Do you see how that works? Always should have an interpreter, because the rest of the audience, what he's saying doesn't make any sense at all. An interpreter is necessary. So we have an enemy who has crept in like a thief, and he has stolen control of our money system, and through that control of the money system, he now has our people walking around like dumbass sheep with diapers on their face, doing great harm to themselves, and thinking that you and I, who have sanity, are somehow the problem. And they're trying to turn up the heat even more to get to violence against you and I. It's going to backfire on them at some point here, probably very soon. But the point of it is that you know the end is near, because the anger within the dragon is very great. They're losing their grip, and they can feel it. They can sense it, just as the righteous can feel a new day coming. They're not going to get away with this. So you stand firm, the elect stand firm, and trust in Matthew 24 and verse 22. For he will shorten those days. In Matthew 24 at verse 24, we have, for there shall arise false Christs. What does Christos mean? Anointed. Also elect, right? Anointed. The anointed, pseudo-Christos, pseudo, meaning false. That's where we get the word pseudo. We use it all the time. It's a pseudo-this or a pseudo-that. It comes right out of the Greek. It means false. So, pseudo-Christos means false Christ or false Messiah. So, there shall rise false saviors, false prophets, prophetes. So, gee, where in the world we got the word prophet? Oh, prophetes in the Greek language. So, spurious or false prophets as well. And they shall shew great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Ooh, if it were possible. Again, Matthew 24, verse 24. Why is it not possible to deceive the very elect? Because the very elect are not fearful. The very elect do not run from the Father because of all of this animosity, negativity, false advertising, propaganda by the enemy. But it will fool many. It will fool many, and we have a ton of false Christs and false prophets, like Fauci, Burks, the National Institute of Health, the CDC, the World Health Organization, all kinds of false prophets and false messiahs. And now we even have some of these so-called preachers advertising that you should go down and put this toxic serum into your body and change your DNA and become forever a genetically modified organism, GMO, and that you will technically belong to the state at that point. The beast will own you because you are genetically modified by their serum. Therefore, you belong to them. Much like if you get the state involved in your marriage, you now cannot get it undone unless they approve. It's called divorce. And you have to go through court. And you have to pay lots of money to lawyers. But you made the state. You volunteered in. That's why I got into discussion with folks here in recent times about marriage. And we could talk a long time about that institution. But so explain to me where our father wanted the state to be part of marriage. Can somebody explain that to me? What does a piece of paper have to do with it? What does a preacher have to do with it? Marriage is a natural state. It doesn't require paper. It doesn't require a priest or preacher. It sure as hell doesn't require anything from the state. Because Adam was married to Eve when he slept with her. There's your marriage. There was no ceremony. There was no preachers present. There sure as hell wasn't any state to get involved. And so our ancestors for thousands of years have been marrying each other because men have been sleeping with women, and that is the marriage act. Now, Satan and his kids get involved, and a lot of other stuff gets involved, and now it's become a very casual thing. And with it comes what? A lot of mental illness, a lot of lack of trust, lack of bonding, because you're committing the marriage act on a casual basis when it was meant to be a sacred thing. Especially for you ladies, because Eve was told in the Garden of Eden, in the book of Genesis, that her obedience, well, I know what your English Bible says. Go back and read it in the Greek. Even the Hebrew, if you want. But in the Greek, it is very clear. It was Eve's obedience would be to her husband. Your Bible says her desire. How convenient. Leave that little piece out. Now, you can do that. You can change the truth, but you can't change the consequences of changing the truth. The truth's still the truth. And that's why casual sex destroys a woman's psyche much more than men. Whether you like hearing it or not, folks, I don't really care. Men were made, and this is the average man, they can be, if they choose to be, they can be polygamous. Why? Because they don't have that in them. In the garden, when Yahweh condemned what Eve had done, he put that desire or obedience in her to her husband. That's why when a woman lays with a man, the very first thing that happens at the subconscious level is she is attached to that man. She expects him to be the father of her children, to protect her, to support her, and provide for her. It will happen whether you consciously know it or not. The man, on the other hand, is capable of providing those things, but he can provide them for more than one woman. Whether he chooses to do it or not, now that's different. But he has the capability of doing it. It is no different than in the raising of children. Women have unconditional love, typically, for their children. That's a trait of the female. That is not a trait of the male. The male is much more rational, much more logical, and he doesn't suffer from unconditional love. And I'm talking about real men. I'm talking about the lions that are out there. Their love is such that it has conditions, just as with my children. Two different wives, three children each. And they had rules. If they wanted my blessings and my love, then they had to obey the rules. Now, when they became disobedient, they saw my wrath. There was punishment. There was also disassociation, even to the point of disowning them, as in the case of race mixing. I told them very plainly when they became teenagers, you choose to race mix, you are no longer my child. Now, see, that had been very difficult for women to do because of their unconditional love. For us men, not very hard. Well, that's because you're cruel, Dan. You've got a cold heart. Don't you just love your children? Yeah, I do. In fact, I love my children so much that I'm going to tell them the truth. I'm going to love them enough that I'm going to hurt their feelings by letting them know what reality is versus the Jewish make-believe bullshit coming to them via television, the movies, and magazines. Okay? Reality is, if you start getting involved in the race mixing part, you are in for a world of hurt. Period. I don't give a damn what they're telling you. And don't point to one couple somewhere on this earth and say, well, that dear couple, they love each other, and look, they've got these nice little half-breed children. Aren't they so cute, Dan? I got news for you. You better dig a little deeper on how good a marriage you think that is and how well things are going, because in my 67 years, I've met lots of people who have experimented in this, and not a single one of them ended well. Now, a lot of white-on-white marriages aren't ending well either, but that's because we're not doing it according to Father's law at all, anywhere. For one thing, in the modern age, we've decided we're so much smarter than our ancestors that we threw away one of the biblical precepts for marriage. It was called courtship. Oh, Dan, that's old-fashioned. Come on, we're supposed to go out and have a few drinks and end up in bed. Well, again, let me know how that works out for you. I fell for that bullshit when I was a younger man, and so did most of my male friends and female friends. They fell for that bullshit, and I've grown up to see the heartache and misery that it has caused. So, if you want to learn the hard way, then you proceed exactly the way you're going, and you will go through the same heartache that our generation went through. We're just trying to show you the error of our ways so that maybe you don't have to suffer as badly as our people have. We threw away the wrong things. We should have been taking the Jewish novels and the Jewish movies and burning them. We should have driven the Jews from our land the way our ancestors did. If you want to succeed and have a beautiful world with a sound money system and sound government and happy, prosperous people, you cannot have the Jews amongst you. It's just a simple fact, folks. Study history. Go get Andrew Carrington Hitchcock's book. And there's many other books, and many of them written by Jews themselves, talking about their propensity to do wicked and evil things in the societies in which they infest. You can choose which way you want to go. As far as me and my house, we choose Yahweh El Shaddai, God Almighty. Judgment's coming upon this earth, and he will use his elect to bring that judgment. Whether the world likes it or not, whether you, the listener, like it or not, or whether little peep squeaks like Luke like it or not. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Got away with it the first time, guys. You won't get away with it the second time. Mark 13, verse 20, and except that the Lord, or Yahweh, had shortened those days, no flesh should be saved. But for the elect's sake, whom he hath chosen, he hath shortened the days. So very similar to the other verse we were talking about. Matthew Matthew 24, verse 31, and he shall send his angels, which is angelos. That's where we get the word angel. A lot of our words come from that, right? Well, the modern day angel, obviously, is not what it was meaning in the Greek times 2,000 years ago. Angelos meant a messenger, a bearer of good tidings. Could even mean a pastor who's just a messenger, okay? So he will send messengers with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall call together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. The elect. Mark 13:22 also reinforces the fact that we have false prophets and false Christs, and they will show signs and wonders. By the way, wonders, omens, prodigy or omen, teros in the Greek, and to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. How was Eve convinced to do what she did? Yeah, your Bible says beguiled, but go into the Hebrew or Greek text and look that up. She was physically seduced, sexually seduced. Why do you think the Jews were instrumental in the feminist movement? Virtually every female associated with the feminist movement in the early 1900s was Jewish. Every single one. And financed by Jewish bankers or organizations. Why do you think they wanted to liberate Eve from Adam's protection? Because that's what they did. Because she is easily seduced with sweet sounding words. So as soon as the women's suffrage movement was succeeded, they immediately could outvote the white man because there are more women than there are men. And the Jew understood very well that they could seduce this large group of voters into accepting and voting for whatever they wanted. Why do you think there are so many women in positions of companies and in government today? Because the Jews know that they are easily persuaded with sweet-sounding words or promises of money and power. Because without the Jews' interference, they would not have those. They would be under the coverture of their husbands the way our Father intended it to be. Again, you don't have to like it. You can rail against it all you want. But in the end, it's Father's way that will prevail, and you're going to be left out in the cold. Right now, the Jews are on top. They control all the electronic digital money, that's what it all is now, digital. So that's why they're filthy rich Jews buying up land. One Jewish couple alone has 500,000 acres of farmland in Florida. And Gates, another freaking Jew, is in the process of trying to do the thing all across America. Now, ask yourself this question. Why would the Jews be so interested in buying up all this real estate? The same reason they're trying to buy up all the weapons and ammunition companies, because they can't get the legislature to take away your Second Amendment because too many people are on to them about that. So they're going to go through the back door, buy up the companies, and then just shut the supply off. Just as they're doing with the money. Jewish groups and Jewish organizations have all kinds of digital dollars or digital shekels, don't they? Who gets the biggest portion of these so-called bailout deals coming out of the District of Criminals? Jews. Bankers. When they say bankers, they mean Jews. When they say corporate CEOs, they mean Jews. different organizations, charities, foundations, pretty much all Jews. So they get all this extra. And then who's running the Federal Reserve? Oh, more Jews. Imagine that. And Donald Trump's going to turn all that around. Well, he's got a Jewish daughter with a Jewish son-in-law, Jewish grandchildren. Couldn't do more ass-kissing of Jews if he tried, but he's going to turn it all around. Let me know how that works out, will you? Romans 8:33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. And again, here, justifieth is dikakuo, and it's to render, to show, or regard just or innocent. Justify, be righteous. Colossians 3:12, put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels, kindness, bowls of mercies, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. 1 Timothy 5:21, I charge thee before Yahweh God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels. So the elect or chosen messengers, that you observe these things without preferring one before another. In other words, without bias or prejudice, doing nothing by partiality. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 10, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation. Here we go with that same soter verb, which is in Messiah, or Christos, Yeshua, with eternal glory. So, being part of the elect is a very important thing, and it also has a lot of responsibilities that come with it. All right. And let me check the time here. Okay, getting close to the end, and we'll check the chat room here if it'll come up. Oh, Ralph says here, Goliath's sword probably weighed 300 pounds, and yet David picked it right up over his head and cut off Goliath's head with it. The feminist movement was to separate young women from their fathers and their undergarments. Yeah, it was to step in where Adam was supposed to protect. And the problem is, by that time, the preachers had been usurped, the message had been adulterated, and we allowed the thief to creep in, named the Jew, and turn everything upside down. Let's see here. Levi says, if you want to see the future of America, read Into the Cannibal's Pot, written by a Jew about their plot to destroy white South Africa. Also, Jan Lamprecht's book, Government by Deception, goes into the same thing. Caucasian guy says that Holland has a curfew and masks now. Yeah, they're going to keep pushing this shit, I'm telling you. Ralph has a website. Here it's some yahoo.com. Yeah, Trump has been pushing the vaccine. More evidence that he's a fraud. Okay, he's even taking credit for it. How can you take credit for anything associated with this vaccine? I mean, who in his right mind would do that? Okay, it's not there for our good. I wish people would get that through their heads. We got a caller here. Hold on a minute. Chris, welcome to the program. Welcome.
Hey, you were talking about this thing's not going to go away. Would you like me to tell my story about what happened to me on Monday?
Sure, go ahead.
So I had to take a drug test and a fingerprinting for a new job that I got, and I went to some rather ghetto areas to get that done, so I was refused service at both places because I was white and not wearing a mask, but I managed to get a waiver, so the job's still all good, and civil litigation is pending against the police departments in that town, as well as the individual doctor on staff, as well as both the corporations and the field print franchise. So just FYI, you can fight these battles and you can win them. But if you don't, you're going to die. So it's time to sack up or pack up. And that's all I really have to say.
Well, very good. Very good. And congratulations. You know, I've been hearing that from a lot of my contacts that most of the time when they push back, they win. The problem is that very few people are pushing back at all.
Yeah, well, the law is on our side, right? Like, the law is on our side, right? Like, they can't refuse somebody service. That's illegal under Title III of the, or Title II, excuse me, of the Civil Rights Act, right? If you've got a respiratory disability, right, that's illegal underneath the ADA. So I'm in a position where I happen to have both, right? But it's still, you know, if you tell them, you know, the mask is the mark of the beast, then I'm not taking the mark of the beast, and it's against my religion. The Constitution, the First Amendment, supersedes every single other law in this country, right? But in addition, there's you know, civil rights legislations that protect people on the basis of their religion. So they can't throw you out of the store, and if they do, they're going to have an open and shut lawsuit. But the first thing I would do if you're confronted by anybody is turn the camera on and just put it on their face and say, do you have any idea how illegal what you're doing?
Yeah, that's a good suggestion. You're right. Get it recorded, or have your somebody that's with you have theirs running while you're speaking to them, and you have it all on record.
But yeah, I just wanted to let you know that I'm going to seize the assets of everyone involved in this, and I'm not going to stop until I sue every one of these satanic a-holes into oblivion.
Okay.
they'll be prostituting on the street by the time I'm done with them. Proverbs 20:26. The righteous king scattereth the wicked and brings the wheel over them. Sack up.
Yeah.
Sack up. The law is on your side. The law is on your side in every way. Like, everything they're doing is illegal. Like, none of these executive orders even apply to you if you're a private citizen.
Yep.
But get educated, fight back. It's not hard. You will win, and you'll end up with a nice chunk of change at the end of it for all your troubles, too. Plus, it's a lot of fun. It's hilarious. It's hilarious. It's so much fun. Anyway,
yep. Well,
that's all blessings. I have to say.
Yeah, blessings to you, Chris. Yahweh bless, and keep coming back with updates.
I will.
All right. Take care. Yahweh bless.
Thank you.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, very good. And Chris is taking the fight to the enemy, just as, again, Scott McKay and Clay Clark were talking about. There's an upcoming symposium that they're all being asked to speak at in the very near future, and it's all believers who have decided it's time to take the gloves off in this fight, and let's start taking the fight to the enemy, okay? Why are we acquiescing and automatically taking a back seat to the wicked? And the Bible in basic English has Proverbs 20, verse 26, a wise king puts evildoers to flight and makes their evil doing come back on them. Hallelujah. And there was another, the scriptures, which is a translation that comes out of South Africa. That verse is, a wise sovereign winnows out the wrong and turns the wheel over them. And let's get the World English Bible. A wise king winnows out the wicked and drives the threshing wheel over them. Oh, that's even better. The threshing wheel, not just any old wheel. What's a threshing wheel, folks? That's the big, heavy, like a millstone. It's big and heavy, and it crush the enemy. You see, that's the other thing. They want us to think that, well, what would Jesus say? Meaning we're supposed to just be wimps and just take whatever BS that these people hand us. Well, no. No, we're supposed to be warriors. Warriors and lions who don't take BS from anybody. That's what we're supposed to be. So we don't listen to what these quacks and charlatans say, you do what Yahweh says of his children. And then that's when victory comes. Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, the glory, and honor. We thank you for the new setup for the show. It seems to be working very well, so praise Yahweh for that. We thank you for the things that are about to take place, even before they get here. We know that you are in control, Father Yahweh. We ask your blessing upon all your saints out there, your elect, ecclesia, the called out ones, such as Chris and many others that we know of that are taking the fight to these rascals wherever we find them. The enemy is making a very strong push right now, Father Yahweh, so we ask that you push back with your Holy Spirit. Pour it out upon your people. Give them a stiff backbone. Give them clear discernment. Let them see through the lies and deception, and let them know that when you stand for righteousness, you have an army behind you, whether it's an army in physical form or it's the spiritual army of our ancestors and of you and the host of heaven. We're not in this fight alone. This is a spiritual battle. And there are strengths for those willing to take a stand, strengths that are not given to the wicked. They're on their own. We are victorious already. We just don't even know it. Stand strong, brothers and sisters. And Yahweh, we ask that you'd walk with us. We don't always do the things we should or say the things we should. And sometimes we don't really reflect you very well, do we? But we ask that you would overlook that, look upon our hearts, help keep our hearts pure, and then lift us back up on our feet, dust us off, and that we can be the men and women that you intended us to be. Bring forth the lions amongst our people again, Father Yahweh. And we pray for your returning upon the throne, that your kingdom be established, and that this poor world that suffers under the works of these criminals, that it be returned to its pristine nature, and that man could walk upon the earth in freedom and liberty as you intended, but being responsible for their actions to you and you alone. We give you all the glory at this time, Father Yahweh, and ask that you would protect us from our enemies. And we ask this in Yahweh's name. Hallelujah.